She's a wonder in my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
Don't you call him? You don't need.
I've been asking the Lord this week, what would he have me to say to you today, or what would he have to say to you through me today? It is found in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 16, and I'm going to try and read it all with you. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, when you have it, say amen. Amen. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him, Acts chapter 9, verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them unto Jerusalem. And as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, watch, this is Jesus speaking directly to Saul. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecuted. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told to thee what thou must do. And the man and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. How many of you know that when the Lord speaks to you, it's not for everybody else? That's why it would not do us good that when the Lord talked to us, for us to go and run and tell everybody. Because when you are telling them, sometimes the devil hears your blessings. Are you with me yet? And Saul arose, verse 7, and verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he didn't see anybody. Now he's blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, now you need to know that when the Lord speaks to you, he's also speaking to somebody else, because he's preparing a way for you. He does not leave you alone. Are you with me yet? And in verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas of one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayed and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard about this person here. There, don't fool yourself. There are some folk that have heard your reputation. And he said, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints of Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all them that call by your name. But the Lord said unto him, don't worry about it. I've had a little talk with him. Somebody didn't get it yet. Jesus said, don't worry about it. I've had a little talk with him. He says, for he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16, he said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I want to talk to you today about truly converted. Truly converted. The grass will wither, the flower, it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Truly converted. It would behoove us today to understand that there are those of us that must be converted. And truly, Brother Minister, truly converted. I took the liberty of all myself to looking up the word converted or conversion. Here's what it means. The act or process of being changed from one form or state to another. The act or process of changing from one religion or belief to another. Something or someone converted from one use to another. Converted. Let me read that again because somebody didn't get it. Changing, it is the process of changing from one form to another. The act, a process of changing from one religion or belief to another. There are many folk that are changing beliefs, but not having a heart change. I'm going to be just a minute. This message is short, but you need to know this. There are folk that change religions and change churches, but the heart hadn't been changed. Do I have any believers that know what I'm talking about? There are folk that even change cities, communities, and neighborhoods, but the heart hadn't changed. There are those who change cars and clothes and dwellings, but the heart has never been changed. That internal metamorphosis had not taken place. Are you going to talk back to me? Hairstyle has changed. Earrings have changed. The attire has changed. But the internal metamorphosis have not taken place. Well, let me just break it down to you then. They have not been born again. In our text today, I want you to hear what the Lord has to say to us, because God takes Saul. Saul was a man that, oh goodness, had the worst of reputation, well educated, raised in one of the finest households as a Roman citizen, but yet he had a heart problem. In fact, you can have fine cars and houses and jobs and have a heart problem. Y'all gonna shout with me in just a minute. I'm talking about a problem, a heart problem, that Dr. Friedman can't fix. That the cardiologist cannot do anything with, because that is a spiritual heart problem. And it takes a spiritual physician to handle this problem. Are you with me yet? I don't care what kind of cardiologist you are, you can be the best there is, but this particular problem only Jesus can fix. Somebody ought to say, fix me, Jesus. Fix my heart. Fix my mind. Fix my walk. Fix my talk. Fix my, oh yes, sir. I heard somebody said, work on me. I'm not talking about my neighbor. I'm not talking about my mother. I'm not talking about my brother, my sister, my church member, nor my musician. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. Let me hurry along, lest I shall overload your wagon. Watch this. And so Paul has a problem. He's gone now, and he's a bounty hunter because he wants to take and kill or prosecute the Christians, those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, here's what you need to understand in this particular text, because when you become saved and sanctified, you need to know today that when you are saved and you are sanctified, that you have a bounty on your head. Anybody gonna talk back to me? You see, there is a mistake that we make as Christians. We think that when we get saved, that we are, our life gonna be hunky-dory and everybody gonna like us. Grave misconception. That's why some folk are delaying, tarrying, and reluctant to be saved, because they don't want the hit out on them. Talk back to me if you can. There are some folk in the church that learn the church lingo. They learn how to sing the song. They learn how to say the prayers. But then when it comes to being and standing up and being a Christian, they break camp. Because they come to find out that the hit is out on them, and Satan has put it out, and they've seen what he's done to others. So they cow out. You need to know today that Christ doesn't have secret Christians. Eventually, you're going to have to do like we used to say in the street, come out of the weeds. Let me give you, well, okay, let me give you this, since you don't understand that lingo, because it might be too far back for you. In other words, come out of the closet. Can't be a closet Christian. You've been dodging for quite some time. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to prove what you are. Either you're for Jesus or you're not for him. Come on, talk back to me. Either you black or you white. Talk, are you with me yet? Either you up or you down, either you are or you aren't. But somewhere along the line, see, you can fake it for so long. Yeah, yeah. Jesus says, if you love me, at some point you're going to have to show me. Watch this. And so Paul, there's a hit out on the Christian. The letters has been given. Paul leaves Rome and goes to Damascus, but now you find that in the 9th chapter, Jesus catches up with Paul. How many of you know the Lord gonna eventually catch up with you? You can run, But you can't, y'all, I know y'all been out there. You don't want to say it. You can run, but you can't hide. You see, the Lord knows what he's doing. So now the Lord catches up with Paul. And so now he says, listen, why are you persecuting me? Now, here's what I want you to know. Look in verse 4, because he says, you got to keep your Bibles open today. The screen is out. I'm glad the screen out. Sometimes it make you lazy. Watch this. In verse 4, he said, Jesus stops Paul and he said, why are you persecuting? Watch this. Why art thou persecuting me? Watch this. This tells you that whatever somebody does to the church, Jesus takes it personal. Are you with me yet? No, he's not talking about what somebody do to the building. But when somebody does something to you, he takes it personal. Because if you hit my child, you hit me. If you hit my wife, you hit, are you with me yet? If you hit that person's husband, you hit her. That's why the whole crowd, are you with me yet? Remember years ago that people used to crowd each other when a family, when we would hit one, the sister come in, the brother come in, the uncle fly in from California, the auntie come from across the way with her heels off, took her earrings off. God, you ain't got no business here. Baby, I didn't hit you. You hit my niece. When you hit family, Jesus takes it just like that. Jesus takes it personal. You watch this. You're out there fighting your battles, and all you got to do is leave it up to the Lord. Because when you leave it up to the Lord, when you give it over to the Lord, Jesus says, don't worry about it. I know how to deal with them. And I can deal with them way better than you can. How many of you know Jesus can bring a joker down, down, down? He's got his own place, he's got his own time, and he's got his own way. That he knows how to deal with those who do you wrong. Watch this. And so now in verse 4, he said, why are you persecuting me? He says, in verse 5, Paul says, why? Who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. Who you are persecuting. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I took the liberty of myself of going looking up the word, what a prick is, what exactly what it was, and Paul was kicking against it. What exactly is this prick that the Lord was talking about? And so what it is a rod that is 8 to 10 feet long that the people would use to take the cows and the bulls and to punch them and herd them to where they wanted them to go. That was in their time. Are you with me yet? If the bull or the cow would get out of line, in order to control them, they would take the pole, they would take the prodder, and they would make them go in the way that they wanted them to go. Watch this. Nowadays, the prodder that we have an electric shock to it. And what the people do is they take it and they hit it, and it's electric shock, and the bull or the cow have to go the way that they want them to go. Are you with me yet? Well, let me show you what God's prodder is. Because God has a prodder. God's prodder is right there in your hand. Somebody's not with me yet. God uses a prodder. Thou shall not hurt. Thou love that hurt. Somebody didn't get it yet. Don't hate for hurt. See, there's a way that God is trying to get you to go. And the reason why you keep coming out of every situation with your heart broke, with your head hurting, with tears in your eyes, is because God has told you, don't get into that. Go this way. Go the way that God wants you to go. Go in the way that God has designed for you. And we keep on coming out of these relationships, coming out of these friendships, coming out of these wrong ways. We keep coming out, I'm crying, I'm hurt, because God had been hitting you with that prodder all of the time. There are some folk that don't want to come to church because they don't want that prodder to hit them. There are some people that doesn't open our Bibles because we don't want God's calendar. We don't want his product. He says, as long as you keep kicking against it, you're going to keep hurting. Somebody didn't get it yet. Are you with me? As long as we don't be obedient to God's word, we're going to keep getting hit. We're going to keep coming off of prayer every time the doors of the church is open. You know I needed to go there. Every time the doors of the church is open, the chairs come up, I'm here every Sunday. I need prayer. We just prayed for you last Sunday. So that tells me that you're going right back out doing the same thing. Somebody's not with me yet. I ain't gonna have a single friend when I leave here this evening. I came to lose some friends today because I got too many. If you're kicking against the prick, you keep kicking against what God has told you not to do. God is saying, Fred, why? Why are you kicking against my word? I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm hurting. First thing I ask you, are you tithing?
Yeah. Say it.
Got quiet on me right there. Malachi 3 said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Prove me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. And I will pour you out blessings, so many that you will not have room enough to receive it. If you want to keep being broke, if you want to keep being hurt, if you want to keep being tired, if you want to keep all of these curses off of you, stop kicking against the prick. I can't make it any plainer than that. The prick is a prodder. Even the cow and the bull have sense enough to go ahead and go the way that the master. Even the animal said, listen, I'm tired of this. I'm just going to go the way he want me to go. Watch this. And so he says, why are you kicking against the prick? Verse 6 says, and trembling and saw, he arose and he says, arise. Now, verse 6, he says, get up. After you've been knocked down, get up. Let's not lay there and complain. I'm falling and I can't. God always gives us an opportunity to turn things around. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, he gives you another chance. Not a second chance. Because the second chance, we blew that. Now, I want you to look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Because Jesus says, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told unto you what to do. Watch this. When you are converted, when you had your encounter with the Lord, you don't make your agenda. No, you don't. No, you don't. Yo, do anybody have a Bible here? Is this mic on? You don't make your agenda. When we give our lives unto the Lord tells us what to do. God tells us where to go. God tells us who to marry.